Violet and Sunny shook their heads and looked over at their brother, who was trying to remember if he had come across the word in one of his books. "When a word ends in phobe," Klaus said, wiping his mouth with a salmon-shaped napkin, "it usually means somebody who is afraid of something. Does Zeno mean Olaf?"
"No,"
Jerome said. "It means stranger or foreigner. A xenophobe is someone who is afraid of people just because they come from a different country,
which is a silly reason for fear.
I would have thought that you three would be far too sensible to be xenophobes. After all, Violet, Galileo came from a country in Europe, and he invented the telescope. Would you be afraid of him?"
"No,"
Violet said. "I'd be honored to meet him, but..."
"And Klaus," Jerome continued, "surely you've heard of the writer Junichiro Tanizaki, who came from a country in Asia. Would you be afraid of him?"
"Of course not," Klaus said, "but..."
"And Sunny," Jerome continued, "the sharp-toothed mountain lion can be found in a number of countries in North America. Would you be afraid if you met a mountain lion?"
"Natesh,"
Sunny said, which meant something like, "Of course I would. Mountain lions are wild animals." But Jerome continued talking as if he hadn't had a word she said.
"I don't mean to scold you," he said. "I know you've had a very difficult time since your parents' death, and Esme and I want to do all we can to provide a good, safe home for you. I don't think Count Olaf would dare come to our fancy neighborhood, but in case he does, the doorman will spot him and alert the authorities immediately."
"But the doorman didn't spot him," Violet insisted. "He was in disguise."
"And Olaf would dare to go anywhere to find us," Klaus added. "It doesn't matter how fancy the neighborhood is." Jerome looked uncomfortably at the children.
"Please don't argue with me," he said. "I can't stand arguing."
"But sometimes it's useful and necessary to argue," Violet said.
"I can't think of a single argument that would be useful or necessary," Jerome said. "For instance, Esme made reservations for us here at Café Salmonella, and I can't stand the taste of salmon. I could have argued with her about that, of course, but why would it be useful or necessary?"
"Well, you could have had a dinner that you enjoyed," Klaus said. Jerome shook his head.
"Someday, when you're older, you'll understand," he said. "In the meantime, do you remember which salmon is our waiter? It's close to your bedtime, and I'd like to pay the bill and take you home."
The Baudelaire orphans looked at one another in frustration and sadness. They were frustrated from trying to convince Jerome of Gunther's true identity, and they were sad because they knew it was no use to keep on trying. They scarcely said another word as Jerome ushered them out of Café Salmonella and into a taxicab that drove them out of the fish district to 667 Dark Avenue. On the way, the taxicab passed the beach where the Baudelaires had first heard the terrible news about the fire, a time that seemed in the very, very distant past, even though it had not been all that long ago, and as the children stared out the window at the ocean waves rippling along the dark, dark beach, they missed their parents more than ever. If the Baudelaire parents had been alive, they would have listened to their children. They would have believed them when they told them who Gunther really was. But what made the Baudelaires saddest of all was the fact that if the Baudelaire parents had been alive, the three siblings would not even know who Count Olaf was, let alone be the objects of his treacherous and greedy plans. Violet, Klaus, and Sunny sat in the taxi and stared mournfully out of the window, and they wished with all their might that they could return to the time when their lives were happy and carefree.
"You're back already?"
the doorman asked, as he opened the door of the taxi with a hand still hidden in the sleeve of his coat.
"Mrs. Squalor said that you were not supposed to return until your guest left the penthouse, and he hasn't come down yet."
Jerome looked at his watch and frowned.
"It's quite late," he said. "The children should be in bed soon. I'm sure if we're very quiet, we won't disturb them.
I had very strict instructions,
the doorman said.
Nobody is supposed to enter the penthouse apartment until the guest leaves the building, which he definitely has not done.
I don't want to argue with you, Jerome said, but perhaps he's on his way down now. It takes a long time to get down all those stairs, unless you're sliding down the banister. So it might be okay for us to go up.
I never thought of that,
the doorman said, scratching his chin with his sleeve.
All right, I guess you can go up. Maybe you'll run into him on the stairs.